Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of Sports Look. Great Thursday evening to you, and many thanks to our Sport Look sponsors, Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, and Exchange Bank. Gus, the upcoming sports schedule, here's what you do. You just pick a day and there's something, okay? There are so many things going on. Friday, we're going to be back. That's tomorrow night. We're going to be back down in Winchester, the Jefferson County North Tournament. We're going to be at the Winchester site, and that's going to be the right-hand side or the winner's side of the bracket. And we will have games at 6 and 7:30 from there. So tomorrow night, it will be JCN Girls Invitational. Saturday afternoon from Oskaloosa, Iowa, we'll have the Benedictine Ravens at William Penn, 2 and 4 o'clock for the ladies and the guys. Next Monday, circle that one, because it's a special date, it's not in the original calendar, a makeup day, a rescheduled day, as Benedictine will be coming to Atchison, they will be at, Grayson will be at Benedictine Monday. Tuesday, we've got Valley Falls, Oskaloosa, and the next Wednesday, Ravens are going to go on the road again. So there you have it. They're home next Wednesday. BC is at home with Missouri Valley next Wednesday. So there you have it. Games every night. Tune us in. Happy to have you along with us. And gosh, Gus, last week was tournament week. So you know what that means? This week is tournament week, right?
Don't you? It's that time of the year, right? So last week, and I say this, it's morphed over the years, right? It used to always be ladies tournament 1 week, guys tournament the next week. Now we're starting to see some tournaments have a guys and girls portion, like the McLeod Invitational. Yeah. It used to. So when I was in school, right, and now we're hitting the Wayback Machine, it was always the McLeod Invitational for the guys, the JCN Invitational for the girls. There was no girls McLeod Invitational. Now you're starting to see McLeod have one, JCN have one, Oskaloosa have one, and so this week is what we, you know, used to always look at is the JCN Girls Tournament. And telling you, listening into those games earlier this week, there were some fun games.
Some good games, some fun games. And you do have teams, and what that does exclude is those teams that traveled to the combination boy and girl tournaments, like those people that went to McLeod, like Marham Out Academy. So they're now putting together games for this week because they got nothing going on. And so last night, MHMA took on Troy. And in the ladies' game, it was the Lady Trojans with a 15-point win. 47-32. The guys' team, MHMA, wins it 67-57. So they're going to have to start getting used to playing Troy because they're going to be moving into that conference here. Is that next year, I think?
Yeah, so Troy used to be, right, a DBL team.
Oh, yeah.
And then when ACCHS and Moore Hill Mount Academy jumped into the NEK, Troy said,
When it quit being called the Delaware Valley.
Right, and they kind of made that NEK. Well, at that point, Troy decided, hey, we are up here on 36 Highway, and let's go ahead and jump into the Twin Valley League.
Yes.
And so they did. And then just recently they decided, yeah, let's go somewhere else. And I think for them it probably works out better to be in the NEK because, again, the problem with the Twin Valley League becomes, and I'm going to talk like I'm an expert, I couldn't tell you all the teams in it, and I definitely couldn't point at them on a map. But some of the problem becomes like football, where some of them are 8-man, some of them are 11-man, some of them, like, you know, Donovan West and Onega over the recent years have kind of bounced back and forth between 8-man and 11-man. So for Troy, maybe a little more stable jumping into the NEK. So yeah, it's going to be, I know we went down a rabbit hole there, but Troy's going to be a nice addition to the NEK.
Yeah, geographically they're close. School size, you know, and attendance numbers, you know, enrollment, they're, I think, really close. So, yeah, I think it's going to be nice.
And you got to think that they can now probably build up a little bit of a rivalry with, like, a Riverside who's coming into the NEK next year. I mean, that's just right down the road. So, again, we're starting to see conference alignments. I say alignment because realignment has just been happening for so long.
Well, there are all kinds of games going on, and kind of crazy, but we got quite a few games coming up tonight, and of course, Thursday night wrestling. Well, basketball, you're going to have the JCN guys, since the girls are in their tournament, the guys are going to go to Jackson Heights. And that's going to be a 5:30 start, kind of an early get in, get done, and get out kind of a game. You're going to have tonight McLeod at Kansas City Christian. Holton goes to Riverside. Onega at Frankfort. Okay. Girls basketball, Hiawatha, Concordia, Holton at Riverside, Onega, Frankfort, McClough at Casey Christian, and Marysville. That's a tough one. They're going to go to Topeka, play at Topeka Hayden tonight.
Yeah, I heard that. That's going to be, you know, a task.
Yeah, it'll be a deal. Wrestling, the St. Mary's Invitational is underway tonight. Royal Valley and McClough are going to be there. You're going to also have the ACCHS double duel, as they're going to have like Perry and LeCompton coming in, and also they're going to be the home team at that one. So you've got that, and even girls wrestling with Onega and Alma, Marysville and Abilene, and the Lady Tigers also at their invitational. So lots of stuff going on around the area, even as early as tonight before we look at the weekend, and really a full slate coming up.
Yeah, and you've got JCN tournament kicking back up Friday evening. Is you talked about the games that are going to happen Friday at the high school gymnasium. So in Winchester, it'll be JCN and the NEK Nighthawks in the 7:30 game. But the first game of the night will be Rossville and Perry at LeCompton. Should be a nice little matchup of teams that, you know, probably don't play each other much, but are geographically close enough.
Yeah, and probably play a little bit more in football, maybe. You know, I can see both of those postseason kind of teams that, you know, have probably bumped up against one another before, so it'll be good.
In Nortonville, you're going to have the 6 o'clock game. We'll see Atchison versus Valley Falls. And then the 7:30 game, we'll see ACCHS and Oskaloosa.
So, a couple of teams who know each other a little bit.
Yeah, and then, of course, you talk about Saturday, then becomes a full day of games, right? So you're going to have a noon, a 1:30, a 3, and a 4:30.
Yeah.
So those are all tentative times. The only one I can tell you that's going to happen on time is going to be that
noon
game. Yeah.
That's the only one that you can count on.
I'm telling you, if that 4:30 game gets started by 5 o'clock, it's a win, you know?
And Friday night also, with the Atchison girls playing in the JCN tournament, the Atchison guys are going to be at home. And they're going to have a 7 o'clock tip-off. And I'd be interested, if I didn't have other games to see this, is it'll be Jeff West coming in. So Jeff West is a school that is growing in numbers. And you know what? Pretty good competition there. So Atchison, who's moved up, by the way, to number 2 in the state of Kansas in Class 4A. Atchison boys at home with Jeff West. That's a 7 o'clock game Friday night. Tell you what, we've got so much going on. We've got to talk about a lot of stuff, and we're going to take our first break. We'll be back. Sports Look rolling along here on CARE. Last night up at the Ralph Nona Gymnasium, Gus Benedictine was at home. Tell you what, I was kidding the coaches and Josh Pound, the SID. I'd already remembered how to get there, and certainly I had trouble finding a place to park, but it's been 21 days, 3 weeks exactly, since Benedictine has had a home game, because the other home games they had in the middle of that, and there weren't very many, but they got moved and rescheduled because of the weather. So for Benedictine, getting home was kind of a treat. And in that ladies' game, the Benedictine women just played fantastic basketball, and BC comes away with an impressive win against Central Methodist last night.
You want to know a crazy stat? Talking about being at home, you've got 9 games left. 5 of those are going to be at home. And the next 2 Saturdays will take care of your last real road trips of the year, because you're going to be at Penn on Saturday and Culver next Saturday. You're going to finish out with Park and Graceland. So those are easy trips. But you talk about last night, the Ravens being at home against a Central Methodist team. And first of all, let's talk about the ladies game. Central Methodist is not where they thought they would be this year. Probably fair.
I think that's quite fair.
They were a team that, you know, vied for the national title last year. They had some pieces coming back. They thought they would be in a better place, but things have changed, and they find themselves after last night's game being 9-10, 6-9 overall. But for Benedictine last night, you had a great game, and really what I would call a balanced game for the Lady Ravens, right? You had a handful of players that, you know, only one player scored in double figures, but so many players got into the scoring column. The lone player in double figures was Aaliyah Raines with her 10 points. Lauren Dubert had 7 points, 10 rebounds. Jennifer Jacobs, 9 points, 5 boards last night. So, again, a lot of players with 8. You know, you had Allie Kramer, Riley Wade, Nicole Stork, all with 8 points. So it kind of goes to show you the balance that the Lady Ravens showed last night.
Yeah, Josie Weiser came in, and she was hitting right out of the gate in the first half, knocking down a couple of quick threes. And for Benedictine, it's part of what you're going to have to do, I think. You play 9 players, and you get all of them in the scoring column. That's the kind of balance that is really difficult to, as an opposing team, difficult to handle, because when you go to the bench, a lot of times you say, okay, I don't have to worry about that guy so much, probably not going to score much. But when Benedictine rotates players in, that's not the case at all. You've got everybody out there who's able to and is going to put points on a board, and defensively as an opponent, that's hard.
Yeah, it's very difficult, right? I mean, the Lady Ravens able to get all those points off the bench. They were able to get 36 points in the paint. I mean, this Lady Ravens team is really starting to put some things together as the season has progressed, right? They had a down week 2 weeks ago. But then this has been a nice little run, right? They're on a 3-game winning streak. They knocked off Clark at Clark on Saturday, which is the first loss Clark has dealt with all season. Then they turn around and get a nice win here, you know, against Central Methodist, who, I get it, they're not having a great year, but they've still got athletes.
Okay, now I've got to pull out one number and get your knee-jerk reaction. Do you have box scores handy mm-hmm. for the BC Ladies game?
Yeah.
Okay. Free throws were the difference in this game. And it didn't seem at the time. I mean, you kind of felt there was kind of a difference, but when you start looking at the numbers of free throws that these two teams took last night, it's stunning.
Yeah, Lady Ravens attempted 22 more free throws than Central Methodist
yeah.
did, right? Central Methodist shot a great percentage, right? They were 5 of 7.
Sure. You'll take the 70-something percent.
Lady Ravens had 23 made free throws yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
They attempted 29, right? So they had a great night at 79%. And that's been a number that I've kind of harped on all year, especially here on Sports Look, is Lady Ravens' free throw percentage has been down. And those are, you know, what we're talking about. They're free points. You've got to take them. You've got to be better at them. Because how many games have we looked at that come down to, you know, just a few points here or there? And Lady Ravens did well, 23 of 29. That also maybe tells me, some people will look into that and say, oh, well, the officiating might have been a little off last night. I look at that and say the Lady Ravens were just more aggressive last night, right? They were getting to the bucket. They were drawing fouls. They were the aggressor. So, yeah, hitting 23 of 29 free throws. I say that they were getting to the rack, but yet they still attempted 18 three-pointers. And, well, we didn't hit a whole lot of them. They were 2 of 18 last night from the free throw line. But, again, you can make up for that when you're hitting almost 80% of your free throws.
Yeah, and part of the reason is to Central Methodist defensively. You talk about BC aggressive offensively. Well, they were aggressive, yeah, in a kind of a positive way. The defense for CMU, that ball was on the ground. You know, you would think that you had dropped a biscuit in the middle of the dog pound and on the ground because, you know, everybody was just like diving on it, okay? There was nobody hesitating to jump on that ball, get on the floor, reach in, I mean, and pursue the basketball. And ultimately last night they got them in trouble as they had one player foul out and ended the game with 3 with 4 fouls. So that could be a problem.
Yeah, I mean, the Lady Ravens, we talk about how aggressive they were last night. You talk about rebounds, they got, what, 50 total rebounds last night.
That's a number.
Yeah, because Central Methodist only pulled down 37 rebounds. Benedictine, of those 50 rebounds, 16 of them were offensive rebounds, which means that you're just beating the glass all yeah. night. I mean, those are Dennis Rodman-type numbers, right?
Looking around the conference last night, there was maybe a close game as Missouri Valley loses at home to Mount Mercy, 77-74. But then you find Culver Stockton dominating Penn, winning by about 30 at home. You've got Park winning by a dozen over Baker at home. You've got Clark at home winning with 91 points.
Clark taking out a little aggression right there.
Yeah, yeah. And then you've got Grandview winning by 20-plus against Peru State. So there were a lot of runaway games in the conference last night. And that includes that Benedictine win. I mean, 5-point win felt like 15.
Yeah, so you start looking at the conference standings right now. You got I don't know. I would call that a pretty good bell curve, right? So you've got the top two teams. Then you've got the middle three or four teams. So the top two, you've got Clark and Grandview, 14-1, Grandview at 14-2. Drop down, you've got Benedictine at 11-4, Mount Mercy at 10-6, Mid-America at 9-6, Graceland at 7-8, Missouri Valley at 7-9. The reason I say that Benedictine right now is on that second tier is because we talk about it. You've got four losses right now. You can't make those up, right? You can get your wins back, but the four losses is going to kind of put you in a tough spot right now. Then you drop down to the bottom half of the conference, and you're going to see one of those teams on Saturday, and that's William Penn.
And here we are still in January, and you got two teams in the conference that are going to get 20 wins in January.
Yeah. I mean, you've got Clark and Grandview both at 18-1 and 18-2, respectively. So.
Don't you think Grandview's just loving BC right now? I mean, they brought Clark back to within their reach. They can get him because they've got him one more time.
Yeah. And if you're Coach Folsom, here's the deal. I know you would like to get back up to that first, definitely the second spot in the conference. That's going to be tough, okay? So right now, just stay where you're at. If you get some of those, great. But what you need to look at right now is you need to tell your team, hey, Clark, beat them at their place. Grandview, beat them at their place. We've already done those two things, so these are things we can do. Let's just continue to take care of games because, again, you don't want to look at now, as I heard Coach Moody say after the game, we're moving up on February, which is moving month. You don't want moving month to be one of those months where you're too busy fixated on 1-2 that you lose a game here, and how many times do we look back at the end of a season and say, that's the game you'd like to have back, right? It's football where you walked away from Lamoni saying that might be the one you want. For the Lady Ravens, they just don't want to drop a game, you know, next week against Graceland or Missouri Valley. I mean, you've got a tough schedule because I'm going to tell you, even these middle teams are really, you know, tough and they can bite you at any moment.
And again, you got a handful of road games yet. You know, it's not a paved way into the year. Tell you what, we'll take a quick break. We'll be back. Talk about the guys. Talk about a lot of stuff. Sports Look rolling along here on K-Radio. Back with you here on Sports Look. And time to talk about Benedictine guys, Gus. The BC men played fantastic basketball last night. They jumped out in front, trailed for less than 30 seconds by 1 point, but maintained control of the game. Never took a big lead, okay? They never, until right at the end, they never got by a lot. But they kept the pressure on a really, really good 16-2 or whatever Central Methodist team.
Yeah, and Matt Sherman, he's played enough basketball. He knows that it's tough to win games when you only lead for 44, 45 seconds, something like that. I mean, it's tough. You can do it. Better be the last 44 seconds of the game. But Benedictine did a great job of just closing down the vise on Central Methodist. They held them to 25 first half points. And you say, that's a really good half. And Coach Moody's team says, we could do better than that. And they held Central Methodist to 22 points in the second half. And Central Methodist is a really good team this year. They are 16-3. They're 12-3 in conference play after the loss last night. And you start looking at the numbers that this team has been able to put up over the last handful of days, it's impressive that Benedictine was able to hold them to 47 over their last four games. They scored 105, 89, 103, 90.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Matt is playing a lot like his dad's teams used to, right? Get up and down the floor, get some points on the board. But last night, Benedictine's defense able to, you know, force shots up that they weren't allowing second and third chances at. I think the Ravens did a great job on the boards and also kind of slow it down a little bit, muddy it up on the offensive end.
Yeah, no question about it. Again, they averaged 96 points, like you said, in the last four games. Averaged over 90 all season long. And how in the world you can hold a team like that to 47, it's just remarkable.
And don't you think as a player, like when you're used to scoring in the 90s and then you get kind of mudded up to a game where you're like in the 40s and you're struggling to get near 50, you just get frustrated, right? And I think sometimes that takes over, especially younger players.
Yeah, and you've got guys like Stubblefield and Senegal, they're outside shooting guys, going 1 of 8 and 1 of 9.
Which I've never understood. If you can shoot in Puckett Fieldhouse, you should be able to shoot everywhere except for maybe Missouri Valley on a bad day. Yeah, because every other gym is so much smaller than Puckett.
Yeah, they went 4 of 26 from outside, 15%. And
you shot 5 of 11 from the free throw line. So I'm not saying that those 6 points help you win that game last night, but you got to shoot better than 45% from the free throw line, especially in college basketball.
And Benedictine, not only did they go deep into the bench, they played a lot of guys. I mean, Jack Vanderwood got 13 minutes. Hagen fouled out of the game. He would have played a lot more, but he fouled out. He kept
like
getting,
with 13 minutes left, right? Like, there was a lot of basketball left on the table.
But the guys did, you know, some really, really good things. And, again, you heard Coach Moody the post game. Got to be very, very proud of him. And for Benedictine, you do all this without, well, when you were most athletic guys, the guy who started every game for you this year, Preston Reynolds, twisted an ankle at the end of the last game, and he's going to be recovering that. And so he was not out there at all last night.
Yeah, so he wasn't out there. Ezra basically running the point last night, 31 minutes. He only had 2 points, but able to dish out 4 assists on the night. And those are kind of the numbers you're expecting from, you know, Vike Alpha. So with that being said, you've got a guy that's going to dish the ball a little more and not be so much of a scorer. You've got to have other guys step up. And I thought Gino did that last night, right? Corridori with his double-double, 22 points, 10 rebounds. He was 8 of 13 shooting, 6 of 8 from the free throw line. But yeah, Bryson and Braden step up 14 points apiece, right? Like, so those are the guys that if you're going to win and win consistently, you've got to get Bryson and Braden to hit. And when they're both hitting, it's even better. But understand that shooters are going to fluctuate. They're going to have 14 points tonight. They're going to have 3 tomorrow night. And then they're going to have 28 the night after that. But yeah, right now Benedictine getting a little more bench scoring. We saw Hagen with his 7. Larry Parker III has been a guy who's getting more time, right? Yep. He got 19 minutes last night, able to pull down 3 boards in the game and get 4 points coming off the bench. So he has been kind of a nice little cog to this point or to this piece in the second half.
Yeah, and you look around the conference with games that happened last night. You had Park over Baker. That was probably
That's a really big win for Park.
Okay, Clark winning by 20, or rather by 4.
That's a big one, too.
Big win over a Graceland team that's way up at the top of the rankings. Clover Stockton, how'd they get 102 points, knocking off Penn by 30? 20-point win for Missouri Valley over Mount Mercy, and Grandview beats Peru 77-69. I didn't see that coming either because Peru State is absolutely chock full of athletes.
Yeah, and last week when we were here on Sports Look, you remember the 1-2 team in the conference? It was Grayson and Baker. You know who the 1-2 team in the conference are tonight? As of right now? Mid-America at 13-2, and Central Methodist at 12-3 now. Then you've got Grayson at 12-3. Baker had a rough week, right? They fall to 12-4. Then Missouri Valley, Peru State, Grandview. You've got Culver, Park, and Benedictine kind of fighting there. And then Clark, Penn, Mount Mercy, or your bottom three out. So, again, right now, the Benedictine men find themselves in the tournament, and as we're coming up on moving month, like, you can keep moving up in the standings, and, again, just keep playing the style that they have been. It's working for them.
Yeah, masters of your destiny still, because you can keep winning, put yourself in a good spot. Conference is going to be full of games this Saturday. 3 12-2s and 3 2-4s.
Would you prefer Penn to be a 12-2 game?
Oh yeah, I was surprised
I would
it wasn't.
Too. I mean,
shocked it wasn't a noon and two.
So
this Saturday it's going to be 12 and 2 o'clock games. They're going to have Clark traveling to Mid America. I get that. Peru over to Culver. I don't know if I get that or not. Baker Mount Mercy. Totally understand that one. The 2 and 4 o'clock games, Grandview goes to Central Methodist. It's not that big a trip, so they've moved it to the late one. Park will go to Graceland, 2 hours there, and, of course, Benedictine at Penn, the game that we'll have live here on K-Radio. Be up in the Penn gym.
I just like that John moves his games up to 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
You know, 12 and 2. So, anyway, yeah, lots of basketball. There's going to be a couple games on Monday. We talked about Graceland at Benedictine, Park at Culver Stockton. I mean, we're right in the thick of it right now.
Any questions you want me to ask the new conference commissioner if I see him up there Saturday?
You think Nick will be there, or you think he's already in Kansas City?
Nick is down on Grand Avenue right
now. I would
now.
Be running out of Oskaloosa, Iowa, too.
There's probably a food truck sitting right outside there on about 12th Street, and, you know, they've got the delicious sandwiches and coffees, so.
All right, with Nick being the new conference commissioner, do you think we'll start to maybe see a little more symmetry to some of these games, or a little more, hey, we're playing all Saturday games at 1-3 or 12-2, or do you think you'll just continue to be, you know, kind of the Wild West of the conference where it's like whatever time you want to play. You want to play at 5:30, go ahead and do it. As long as you get two teams, I'll say
as
okay.
As long as you can get it in and everybody shows up at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Here's the problem with that. Of course, I'm a guy who wants to have them all. I want there to be rules and you follow them. This conference has gotten away from all of that. Look at Mount Mercy's football team. Okay, so all old rules are out the window. But yet, once it's been the Wild West, man, who are you going to get Wyatt Earp to rein him in?
Yeah,
I mean, that's hard, man. You let the cat out the bag.
Right.
So
I mean, that's why, I don't know. I like, throughout the week, right, the conference is 5:30 and 7:30. We don't see any Wednesday night games that are 6-8. I mean, you just know. So I would just like to maybe see Saturday become a set time. Because I do. I feel like it's either 12-2, 2-4. Every once in a while, though, during the season, sometimes late in the season when we're getting up on senior day, you'll see like a 5:30 and 7:30 type game. And it's just like, throw your hands up because I feel like it just makes things difficult.
Which one do you want?
Honestly, 1-3 would be okay.
1-3.
Because I know that 12-2 is what I would really like, but I know there are some girls coaches, and I say girls coaches because they're going to play that early game, that say, man, some of those trips, like a go to Grandview, a 3-hour trip, you know, you got to get out kind of early, so give yourself one more hour. I think 1-3 works.
Yeah, if you're going to go to Grandview and play at noon, I mean, you got to leave it. What, 6:30?
Yeah, so I mean, that's
so
what I'm saying.
Get there in time to get ready.
You know, if you gave yourself one more hour, do every game at 1-3.
Yeah. But there you have it. Hey, stick around. We got a ton more to talk about. Sports Look on a Thursday, rolling along here on CARE. Back with you here for segment 4 of Sports Look on KAIR-FM Horton Atchison. Gus, they all said that they couldn't do it. They all said that Chiefs can't win on the road in the postseason. They have no experience with doing that. Can't defeat, you know, these guys on the road. They packed up their bags, and they, I think, shocked, I think, really, a big part of the NFL last week with that nice win.
Yeah, I think there were a lot of people that said, well, and I don't understand it, but people have said, oh, well, Kansas City can't play on the road. No, they just haven't had to, right? I mean,
how do you know?
Yeah.
They've not had to do that.
Now, I do know that Mitch Holthus had been preaching that, you know, Kansas City had already really played a road playoff game. Is, you know, that Super Bowl was in Tampa with Tampa, and he said, you know, it wasn't a regular big game. And he said it was kind of a home game. And, yeah, it kind of went south. But Kansas City just looks dialed in against the Bills on Sunday, and they were able to do a lot of things. They were also able to realize their mistakes, make changes, adapt to the game, and come out with the W at the end of the day.
Yeah, and so with that win, they earned the right to go to Baltimore. Not an easy task, but again, I think that anybody who's writing them off is underestimating them. I mean, they're no lock, but then again, the Ravens are no lock.
Yeah, so Lamar Jackson is 1-3 against Kansas City, okay? And his one win came in that game just a couple of years ago. It was a Sunday night game. And you remember Kansas City was getting ready to ice the game away, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire fumbles the ball in the fourth quarter, and the Ravens get it, come down, they score, Baltimore wins. I'm not saying that these are the same teams because there's hardly any of the same players. But I am going to tell you that in the back of Lamar Jackson's mind, he's going to have that, I've got to beat Patrick, you know, mentality. And he's going to be the MVP. He's going to be great. I think the Ravens have a lot of pieces that are tough to defend. But the one person they're getting back this week is their tight end, possibly, they're going to get Mark Andrews back, right? And everybody says that's a big thing for the Ravens. I think it's a bigger thing for Kansas City. Because with Mark Andrews in the lineup, I feel like Lamar Jackson becomes a worse quarterback. In the sense of, that has always been his safety blanket. When in doubt, I'm looking for Mark Andrews. Great receiver. But the problem is, then you stop looking down the field, you stop looking at the things you're doing right now, and you're focusing on getting the ball to the one guy that you know will catch the ball. I don't know. I think this sets up to be a great game. I also think Spags is going to throw some very exotic things at Lamar Jackson and hope to kind of confuse him.
Baltimore is at home, 3.5-point favorite. Not a surprise. That's a toss-up.
Yeah. You know, 3.5-point favorite. I think the over-under is low at 44.5. But I also understand that it's supposed to be in the 40s. It's supposed to rain maybe the entire game. I still think that we're going to blow right by the 40s. I think this game is going to be, you know, like 30-20 type of a game.
As a football player, what would you rather? 45 and rain or 0 and windy?
Probably 45 and rain.
Don't you think?
Right? Like, if I'm on the sideline, at least I can kind of, you know, protect myself. I'm not just like freezing over there and just like uncomfortable. I think it should be a great game. You know, the other thing is that Harbaugh coming off the Andy Reid tree, Andy Reid has never lost a playoff game to, you know, one of his guys. So, again, I think this is set to be a fun game. I'm a little surprised that so many people think the Ravens will run away with it. Now, if they do, I get it. I mean, they've been blowing everybody out this season. But, again, I just don't see it happening like that. I wouldn't be shocked if the Ravens win. I just would be shocked if it's a like 40-20 type game.
The other game coming up on Sunday, which will be the second game, the 5:30 game, because the Chiefs are 2, Lions and 49ers. You could see this thing coming, you know. You saw this game coming at Thanksgiving, right?
Yeah, I mean, the Lions have kind of fluctuated, but the 49ers have been really good all season. Now, for the 49ers, I think the biggest thing is going to be on Debo. If Debo Samuel plays, their numbers go up, right? Like, as far as winning percentage, exponentially up, 70-some percent. When Debo doesn't play, they are like a less than 50% chance of winning that ball game. I think the NFL writers have got it right, right? The first game of the year was Lions-Chiefs on a Thursday night, standalone game.
Right.
The last game of the year is Chiefs-Lions Sunday night standalone. Wait, maybe we just fast-forwarded too much.
Too far.
No, but I do think that the Lions really do have a good shot of winning this game. And the one thing that drives me nuts about some of the national pundits in the 49ers is that everybody says, well, when Brock Purdy has a down game, they're like, see, he's not good enough to win. I think Brock Purdy's good enough to win. I think just people write him off because he was the last pick of the draft. I think he's good enough to win this game. But the Lions are just gritty, right? I mean, and we always laugh that gritty is one of those words, you know, that's code for maybe they're just not that good. But they just find ways to win games and bog you down, and I think that's what they're going to do in this one.
Run the football. What I like the best about the 49ers is McCaffrey.
Because he can do everything?
Because he can do everything.
Right? You line him up in the backfield, he's going to pick up 7 off a straight handoff dive into the middle. You want to pitch it to him, he's going to get outside and run away from you. You want to line him up in the slot, he's going to catch one in front of a linebacker and then run away from the safety. And
you put him in a wildcat, I bet he can throw a 40-yard pass.
Yeah, probably, right?
He's just a very well-rounded, athletic kind of a guy.
Yeah.
And I want him on my team. And yet, I also expect the Lions to win this. Certainly they're going to cover that 7.5-point spread, but I expect the Lions to win this game because their coach is wacky, man. He'll do anything.
Dan Campbell, you don't know what's coming at you. I think he
is non-traditional as it gets.
Dan Campbell's going to have his team definitely fired up, ready to play, right?
Oh, yeah. I really enjoy it.
There you go.
Hey, college hoops, Kansas. Yeah, playing some pretty good ball. They're going to be at number 23, Iowa State, Saturday at 12:30. And K-State stumbling last night. It gets no better. Now they're at number 4 Houston Saturday morning at 11.
Yeah, Kansas State loses to Iowa State last night. Now they get to go to number 4 Houston on Saturday. Kansas is going to have a tall task, right? Going to Hilton is never easy.
Never good.
But especially when Iowa State is playing better basketball, they're number 23 in the country. That place is going to be packed. It will be just crazy. Should be a great atmosphere for college basketball.
How good is this conference, man? You've got Houston 4, Kansas 7, probably better than that. Oklahoma's at 11. I mean, this conference is just brutally good.
Yeah, and it's only going to get better next year when you add Arizona and Arizona State, right? I mean, Arizona's always been a great basketball school, and so you're going to start adding in those pieces.
And you can watch games at 11 o'clock at night.
How many times have you said it over the years that the Big 8, the Big 12 is a basketball conference?
Yeah.
And it definitely is.
Hey, this is a basketball station right now because we've got basketball every night. Tomorrow, we're at the Jefferson County North Tournament from the Winchester location. 6 o'clock, 7:30, high school girls basketball at the Invitational. Saturday, the Benedictine Ravens on the road will be in Iowa at Oskaloosa. Ravens at William Penn, 2-4, ladies and guys. Next Monday, Benedictine at home. Monday night, circle that up at the Nolan, 5:30 and 7:30 with Graceland. Next Tuesday, we've got Valley Falls at Oskaloosa in the NEKL. And then next Wednesday, Ravens back home with Missouri Valley. We got to thank great people, Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, and Exchange Bank, our Sports Look sponsors. Till we see you next time for Gus Couch, Tom Couch. So long, everybody.